insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdu wa thana lillahi rabbil alameen. Thumma salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa habibi qulubina abil qasim al-mustafa Muhammad wa ala ali baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin la sigama baqiyatullahi fil alameen ruhi wa arwahul alameen liturabi maqtamihi al-fida. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. We'd like to welcome you to another of our programs, and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the understanding of more of His verses. First, let's hear the verses.
وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِي الظَّالِمِينَ وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَّقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلًّى وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ أَن طَهِّرَا بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ.
If you remember, in the past few sessions, if you've been listening, we've been discussing the verse 124 of Surah Baqarah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the issue of the leadership and the imamate of Prophet Ibrahim. He says, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. And when his Lord tested Abraham with certain words, and he fulfilled them, قَالَ إِنِّي جَعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am making you the imam and the leader of mankind and the people. قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي, said he, and from among my descendants, قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِي الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered back that my pledge does not extend to the unjust. We mentioned that this verse has got a lot of different points that can be derived from about the concept of imamate. We don't need to and we cannot mention all of those all over again. With all the details, very briefly, we need to say that Prophet Ibrahim was raised to the level of imamate after having been a rasul and being a messenger. And the reason why he was raised to that level and to that higher rank was because he passed the tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put forth to him. So we understood that the level of imamate is above the level of risalat and being a messenger. The last point that we started the discussion in the previous session was the issue that is mentioned at the end of the verse. We mean by that when Prophet Ibrahim was raised to the level of imamat and he was told of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet that we have made you the imam and the leader of mankind. The Prophet asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prayed that God would make some of his descendants and his children imams. As a reply to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِي الظَّالِمِينَ. He said, my pledge does not extend to the unjust. The issue of sinlessness, or what is referred to as infallibility, or ismah, is an issue that's debated and is discussed, and there's different opinions regarding the issue and the concept of sinlessness regarding the prophets, for those who only believe in prophets and they don't believe in the imams that followed after the death of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They discuss the infallibility and the sinlessness of the prophets. For us, the Shia, we discuss the issue of sinlessness and infallibility about the Holy Prophet, the rest of the prophets, and about our imams. We explain that what it means by infallible, it means a prophet and an imam will not commit anything that is considered haram, is forbidden in that religion that they have, that God has revealed to them, or God has mandated them to have. They will not perform anything that is considered forbidden in that religion, and they will not keep from performing something that is considered wajib and obligatory in that religion. This is what is meant by ismah, and the issue of infallibility does not mean that they cannot, it's impossible that they don't even have the capability of committing sin, so they're forced to stay away from sin. That is not what it means. Briefly, it meant that the Imam and the Prophet have got so much knowledge about the reality of things that they would not want to commit those sins, so they choose not to commit those sins. Now, how does this verse refer to that issue, and how does it talk about the infallibility of imams and prophets at the same time? The issue that is mentioned at the end, قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِي الظَّالِمِينَ. When the Prophet asked, can my descendants also be imams? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this reply, my pledge does not extend to the unjust. First of all, we have to explain the concept of unjust. Unjust, ظالم, in the terminology of the Holy Quran, anyone that commits an action that is forbidden and God has forbidden that person from performing it, that person is first and foremost oppressing themselves. We've explained more than once in these sessions, for those who've listened, that the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us from doing things and mandated us to do others is not that He is going to sit back and benefit from that. No one on earth or in the heavens can by any means benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have nothing except for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So even if we wanted to, and we really desperately wanted to, we couldn't have actually benefited Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only reason why He has mandated us to do things and forbidden us from doing other things is for our own spiritual well-being, to reach the goal of our creation, to become the better people that we are made and have been given the capacity to become. So basically, that is to help ourselves. So when we go against that and we harm ourselves, then we are oppressing ourselves first and foremost. Okay. Then some of these sins very clearly also harm others and cause harm to others. For example, one very clear example that everyone understands is the issue of killing or harming someone physically. If I, or God forbid, if anyone decides to kill another human being, a fellow human being, then they are not only for oppressing themselves by going against a command that's going to benefit us, but they are actually harming another fellow human being as well by killing them. Okay, so in that case, we have two oppressions. That person is oppressing themselves and he's oppressing someone else. Of course, there's other examples of oppression. We don't want to get into that topic at this point. So basically, an oppressor is someone, according to the Holy Quran, that is, at the very least, done something that harms themselves. They have performed something that is considered forbidden, or they have not performed something that was mandatory and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mandated it. This is dhulm. When the Prophet asks, can my descendants become imams? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, an unjust person cannot, or the pledge, my pledge does not extend to an unjust person. So an unjust person, a person that has committed sins or does commit sins, they are not going to be able to become for this pledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to extend to them. So this very clearly tells us a person that commits sins cannot have this pledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to. So when he says, can my descendants become imams? He said, no, this imamat cannot go to someone that is unjust. Now, some have raised the question that what about someone, well, yes, someone that is currently committing sins is not going to be part of this verse. Is not going to be included in this verse, and cannot, the pledge of imamat cannot extend to them because they are currently zalimin. They're currently committing sins. But what about someone that is previously in their past, they have committed some sins, they have oppressed themselves, but at this point in time, they're not doing that. They have repented. What about them? There's a nice explanation that Allama Tabatabai says his teacher mentioned regarding that. And that is, when Prophet Ibrahim asks God about his descendants becoming imam, first of all, he says, قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي. from among my descendants. He's not asking for all of his descendants to become imams. He's asking for some of them. Now, which some do you think the prophet Ibrahim would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make imams? There's four possibilities. Someone who has never committed a sin in their life, one option. Someone that has committed sins from the beginning all the way to the end of their life and they've never repented, that's the second option. The third option, someone that at the beginning of their lives they've committed sins, but then they've become better people, that's the third possibility. And the fourth possibility is a person that at the beginning of their life they were good people and then they changed and they became bad people, they started committing sins. Obviously, the Prophet would not be asking for the children of his that he knows are bad from the beginning to the end. So the second option is out of the picture. The Prophet would not ask for those children of his to become imams. Because clearly, a wise person would never ask for such a thing. Also, the option, or the possibility of him asking for the children that were first good and then they turned bad and they started committing sins, can you make them imams? This is also not something that a wise person would do, because that person is going to be dying as a very bad person. So the Prophet would not be asking for someone like that to become an imam. The only two options that are left are the first option, which is someone that has never and will never commit a sin. And the other option is one that the person who has committed sins at the beginning of the first half of their lives or less than that, and then they become a good person. These two types of children are what the Prophet could be asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make imams. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of these two categories, says the ones that commit sins, the ones that are zalim, the ones that oppress, cannot become imams. So we're only left with one possibility, and that is the ones that are, those are the ones that never commit sins from the beginning to the end of their lives. The last point regarding this is, well, how does this verse talk about the issue of the infallibility of prophets? Well, the verse is about the issue of imamate and the concept of imamate and leadership. A leader, an imam, when the prophet was made an imam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make some of his progeny imams. Then at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reply says, no, the zalimeen are not going to be able to become imams. So how does that answer the question about the Prophet? Can we take this point of the infallibility and the sinlessness of prophets from this verse as well or not? A very important point to pay attention to in that reply that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to Prophet Ibrahim shows us and tells us that this issue does not only pertain to those who are imams. It also refers to those who are prophets as well. How is that? The verse says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a reply said, لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِي الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah does not say that imamat does not go to the unjust. It says, my pledge does not extend to the unjust. Ahd that is used in the Arabic of the verse does not only include imamat. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to say imamat does not extend to the unjust, He would have used that word. قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ إِمَامَتِي الظَّالِمِينَ. He could have said that, but He did not say that. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is that my pledge does not extend to the unjust. So he's giving a general and universal statement. The pledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not extend to the unjust. Now the pledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any pledge, imamat is one pledge, prophethood is another pledge. We have in the verses of the Holy Quran that it talks about the mithaq of the prophets, okay? The pledge that is taken from the prophets. Prophethood is one of the ahads, one of the pledges of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with certain people. So basically, when the prophet asks for imamat for his descendants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a general criterion so he would know the answer to his question and the answer to his request. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
سبحانك يا من لا شريك له سبحانك يا من لا شريك